Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Brilliant. It's so good here, isn't it? No, it honestly is. I've got to get up in loads of settings and go, wow, it's brilliant here. And I'm lying, yeah? Because it's rubbish. But this is actually good, isn't it? God is here and amazing things happening, so brilliant. So I'm Scottish and obviously we need to get something right out the way. There was like some kind of sports thing happened on Saturday and Scotland played England at rugby. And I just want to say you can stick your sweet chariot right up. And so the thing is... I'm still a work in progress. Jesus is still working on me because what a nightmare that is. I wore my kilt for that game and it's not good. You got England absolutely killed us. What is that? But what is that? It's not right. It's not good. Being a Christian and being a sports fan is not easy always, is it? Has anyone else ever had that problem where I was watching, because my football team's Nottingham Forest, and I was watching Forest, and I shouted at the referee quite aggressively, and it went really quiet. The referee was really close, and I didn't think this would happen, but I think it's because my accent was Scottish, and I just screamed, and I called him like a few names, yeah, like blessed child of the Lord, and I screamed at him. I wasn't too like offensive, but I think I shouted and screamed at him, called him a muppet or something like that. And I shouted, "You absolute muppet! You are a disgrace!" And he kind of stopped. The ref stopped and like he looked up at me, and like we had this moment where he like looked at me properly. And my son Jordan next to me went, "Oh, I hope he comes to church on Sunday. I would love that." Because I'd love that. Because I would love it. I'm just sitting there and you're giving it all that from the front. He goes, it's like, oh, bless you, you little. And you know, have you ever had that thing where some of you have got kids and like, just look at my son talking to me. And I'm like, oh, I deeply regret teaching you how to speak. Do you know what I mean? Why did I do that? I've taught him how to speak and now he's using it against me in some horrendous manner. It's like, oh. So I'm from Musselburgh, which is just outside Edinburgh. And when I was 16, I used to go up to the Edinburgh Festival and watch loads of comedians like rip the name of Jesus to shreds. I can remember being 16 and faith being absolutely mocked and comedians just like saying that anyone that is a Christian is a complete idiot and all of these things and listening. I can remember being 16 and sitting in one particular comedy show and just thinking in my head, one day I'm going to stand up at the Edinburgh Festival and I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm going to lift his name up high and I'm going to speak of his name in awed terms and I'm going to have people sit in a room and think, wow, Jesus is alive. And then 2 years ago, I got the chance to do a comedy show at Edinburgh Festival. And we did it for 3 nights and we sold out on each night. And there was this moment in the middle when I was talking and everyone was laughing and having fun and it was great. And then there was this moment where like the presence of God fills the room. And people who had just like kind of come along because they'd seen it on the program are now sitting in this hallowed presence of God. And it's like, I was like, wow. And this thing's opening up for me where I'm getting the chance to do comedy festivals. And I was at Leicester Comedy Festival 2 or 3 weeks ago. And then again, we were standing room only. And again, and I decided to go a little bit further this time because we had everyone, it was so much fun. We really were having the crowd were really up for it and laughing. And then I thought, I'm going for this because I might get in trouble, but I'm just going to do it anyway. And I actually went like for a response. I went for an appeal at a Leicester Comedy Festival and 5 people gave their lives to Jesus. It's like, wow. It's like, wow. So we're like really having an amazing time, and God's doing some really cool things. And I bet you always get that thing, because if you're like doing comedy, you've got to have people laughing, right? So if a preacher does a few funny stories, it's kind of like, that's a bit of a bonus, isn't it? Although you're like, oh, that's funny. He is good. But if you're actually billed as a comedian, if you're not funny, people want the money back. Yeah, that is how it works. So I'm like, oh, man. And I was in Yorkshire recently, and we did this comedy show, and everyone was killing themselves, but there's just one guy. He was just like, looked like he was sucking a lemon. You know, those guys. Have you ever seen a man when he's just sitting there, he looks like he's actually having a poo? Do you know what I mean? Because he's so angry. He's making faces that you're like, oh, are you all right? Is things good? And he was really, the whole time I was like, I've got to look away from that. Because if you're like a preacher, you focus in on that one person that's agreeing with everything you say. Do you know what I mean? And enjoying it, yeah? So I'm having a bit of an issue today. But I'm like, you're like doing that. Anyway, this guy, I kind of was near the back at the end. And he came. And as he was leaving, like, he went to shake my hand, so he shook my hand. So I was like, oh, so I'm like quite a positive, joyous man. So I went, oh, I says, have you had a good night tonight? I says, I think I saw you chuckling a few times. And he just looked at me and went, I don't think you did. Wow. What about that for feedback? Wow, thanks for that. Thank you. I love the way that he really felt. He had to put me right on that. Yeah, just so you don't go home encouraged, let me tell you this. Do you know what I mean? You're one of those people that just, I don't want you to go away thinking highly of yourself. I'd rather you sort of driving home, phone my wife. I'm like, oh, Tamsin, there's one person and he said this. And she's like, oh, come on, Mark. Think of the times when you've spoken in front of thousands of people and hundreds have hated you. So, it's great being married, isn't it? It's great. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to look at Joshua chapter 1. And it's kind of like unusual to speak in this kind of setting, this message, because you guys are on with some great things. And I'm an evangelist, and I love people becoming Christians. And I come here, and I'm hugely inspired by what God is doing. And so I'm like, God, this is an unusual thing to talk about, but I really felt stirred to do it. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, God speaks to Joshua and says this, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wow. Moses had led the people, and now Moses is dead, and it's now Joshua's turn, and God speaks to him and says, be strong, be bold, be courageous. Take courage, my heart. That's what I want to speak to you about today. Take courage, my heart. I get amazing, weird opportunities in my life because I'm speaking in a lot of different places. You get thrown these unusual moments. And I was speaking at a youth camp in Austria, and it had been going for 2 days before I got there, and I flew in, and I flew from somewhere else, and basically I arrived, and the guy that picked me up in the car, as I was driving, he says, Mark, he says, we phoned your office last week and asked them whether you would be interested in canyoning, and the office said, yeah, you'd be up for anything. He says, so when we get there, you're going to get out the car, someone's going to hand you a towel, and you're going to get into a minibus, and they're going to take you canyoning, right? So I'm thinking, oh, I don't even know what canyoning is. What is canyoning? So I'm sitting there like, get there. Man puts a towel in my hand. I get into this minibus and we're driving into the mountains of Austria. And I'm working out that canyoning is like throwing yourself off the mountainside into like deep pools. That's what it is, right? And then You know how like your head's just like, you're assessing the situation, you're looking around, you're trying to figure out what is happening here. So there's a couple of things that are happening. Everybody in the minibus is male, right? So suss that out. And the second thing that's really significant is that everybody else apart from me that's in the minibus is a male of the ages 11 to 14. Right? 11 to 14. So I'm looking around, there's like no other leaders. I'm here on my own with all these 11 to 14 year old lads. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And my brain's catching up with me. And I'm thinking, this is a nightmare. Because I'm thinking, I know. Because if you know 11 to 14 year old lads, if there's one thing that is international about 11 to 14 year old lads, is they don't care whether they live or whether they die. They don't care. If you're 12, someone says, run into that wall and see what happens. They do it, yeah? They're like, run into the wall. Or if you run into a wall, it hurts your face. Great, yeah? It's like, wow. Do you know what I mean? If you're 12, you're like, I wonder what happens if I set myself on fire. Do you know what I mean? You're like, ah, life's a massive adventure. And it's like, I'm thinking, oh, man. So we get there, and we're suddenly putting on all this stuff, and then we're throwing ourselves on these 11 to 14 year old lads are just like, they're not even waiting to be told where to jump, what to do. They're just throwing themselves off, right? Just, yeah. And then I'm like thinking, oh man. So the first jump that we're going to do is 7 meters. 7 meters, which is 22 feet. And I'm thinking, oh, flipping heck. So all these little lads have thrown themselves off, and then it's me, and I'm standing at the side, and I'm looking down. And that's quite a long way. That is a long way. And I'm looking down, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And then I hit my next problem, and the next problem is that the guy that's helping us, the leader guy, he can't speak any English. He can only speak German. And so he shouts up from down in the pool. He shouts up at me in German. And I never did German at school. Do you know what I'm saying? I did French. And that is not helping. So I'm like looking down and I'm shouting, oh, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. So he did that thing that we do. You know when you're speaking to someone who doesn't understand, what do you do? You shout. You say it louder, don't you? Because you think that'll work. Yeah, they don't understand my language, but if I shout it, they will, yeah? He's shouting up at me in German, I've not got a clue. And then I have this moment where I'm thinking, right, okay, I just have to trust this guy. I'm gonna have to try and understand. So he's kind of doing this pointing thing. I think it was kind of like, that means if you jump there, you'll probably die. Yeah, that's what that meant. But he says, jump there, and everything will be good. So I'm thinking, okay, I really hope that is how it works, right? Because if it's not, I'm going to find out in a second. I had to make a moment where I had to choose that I'm going to trust this guy and I'm going to go for it. And what I wanted to speak over you guys is that God, he's asking you to take courage. He's asking you to take this incredible steps of faith. And you have to understand that God speaks in this language, and he speaks in the language of faith. God speaks to you in the language of faith. And sometimes we don't understand everything. We don't have every I dotted and every T crossed. Sometimes we've just got to take that leap and trust that God has got it. Do you know what I'm saying? Some of you are like, with finance, you're like, God, what's going on? I don't know, where's the next money bit coming from? And God's like saying, he's speaking to you in faith. He's saying, listen, just trust me. Just throw yourself off. It's going to be good. It's going to be right. When I was working for a church, God told me, I want you to become an evangelist and travel around the country. And we were just about to have our first baby. When Americans tell these stories, if there's any Americans here, sorry that you're American. But the thing is, just a joke, it was a joke. But, you know, when people tell these stories on international conferences, they just sound like amazing. But I'm like there saying to Tamsin, my wife, I'm saying, I really feel God's telling me that we've not to take a salary anymore, but we've got to step out in faith, and that God's going to provide our money, and I'm going to become an evangelist. And she says, Mark, we're going to have a baby in 3 months' time. And I'm like, isn't this an exciting faith adventure? Hey, how about this for a great faith adventure? And if this was a conference, you'd have probably started crying. We'd have held on to each other. Jesus is alive, yeah? That is not what happened, yeah? That is not what happened. She's looking at me going, how irresponsible are you? How irresponsible are you? How irresponsible are you? You're going to, like, bring a baby into the world. You're not even going to be able to provide for it. But, oh, you'll be holding some campaigns. It's like, wow. And you're like, oh, God. Oh. Now, God, right? God is amazing because he speaks to you. And Tamsin and me, we like say, come on, I really believe this is God. And we step out and we absolutely threw ourselves off the edge of the cliff saying, God, you've got to start providing the money. And God has never shortchanged us. 1 month, God has paid and provided over and over again. And like all these years later, 21 years later, God's never let us down. Because God speaks in the language of faith, yeah? And when we throw ourselves out on God, God will never let you down. And it's like, wow. You know, like there's some Christian families that are just like amazing and beautiful, and you hear them and you think, oh, I want to be like that. Our family is a little bit different from that. We had this thing where Tamsin, my wife, made us this brilliant dinner, and she said that she wanted us as a family to talk about our kind of like innermost feelings and have a bit of a family time. So what happened is it started, and some beautiful worship music playing, and we're all there. And then my son said something about to my daughter that made my daughter cry. And like, I love my daughter, so I screech right across the table and I grab him. I think the Bible calls it laying on of hands. And I grabbed him and I said, you talk to her again like that and I will knock you out. Then Tamsin's like, oh, guys, this is not what was meant to happen. And then she's like taking Jordan's side. I'm like, you always take Jordan's side. And then Jordan's chipping in and I grab him. Then Kezia says to me, my daughter, she says, Dad, leave him alone. I'm like, leave him alone? I'm only grabbing him because of you. That's carnage. And then we just had this moment where it all stopped and the worship music just kept playing, yeah? Just kept playing. Beautiful Jesus Bethel worship music just playing. And my wife just went, not now, Jesus. Not now. I love that. Not now, Jesus. Not now. That's what I'm going to call my ministry from now on. Not now, Jesus. Not now. But you see, when we have this faith thing where we're like, you know what, I'm going to step out in faith, I'm going to throw myself out, and God speaks to us, and we don't always understand the language that God's speaking to us in, but guess what? We have to make the step of faith, and we throw ourselves out, and we find God. This is a really impactful part that I love about this, and what I've particularly wanted to communicate today is that I really love the fact that in Joshua 1, he then speaks to like the leaders, he speaks to all the people, and then there's this amazing thing in Joshua 1, verse 18, where the people speak back to him, and they say this, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. That's kind of like Old Testament leadership style, that if people don't follow the leader, it's okay, we'll kill them, yeah? And I think like we're in a new day with leadership, but the way Andy did that wall of shame, it's not that different, is it? So the thing is, but there we are, like, they're speaking back to him. They're saying, do you know what, Joshua, we're going to follow you. We followed Moses. We're going to follow you. But here is a bit that I love. It's they say to him, only, they speak back to him. And they say, only be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. They're part of a daring culture. They're speaking back to Joshua and saying, Joshua, that's great. We're going to follow you. But God said to you to be strong and courageous. And we're speaking back to you. We're saying, come on, come on. Be the leader we know you are. Be strong and courageous. I want to say that when I come into a room like this, it feels to me like it's part of a daring culture. It feels to me like there's a sense in which people are provoking each other to be great. That we're provoking each other to greatness. that there's a sense in which people, you know, wow, this new family coming out the front, and my heart is beginning to rise because I'm thinking, this is a family that are taking a step of faith, and this is a room full of people that are just daring each other to be strong and to be courageous, to take that step of faith. And it's like, wow, I want to be part of something. I want to be having my heart provoked to kind of take risks and to be brave. I want to be part of something where I'm like not taking it easy. I'm not being comfortable. I'm not playing it slow in the middle lane. But what I'm doing is I'm being provoked to absolutely throw myself out and do amazing things. Because you see, I want you to know something that about my story in Austria, is that we did about 4 or 5 more jumps and they all went really well. And then we got to the final jump. And the final jump was 9 meters, 29 feet. It's the same as the Tom Daley diving board for the Olympics. And I'm standing now on this last jump and I am properly wetting myself, because even the 11 to 14 year old lads are now starting to look over and go, and they're all talking to each other in German, and they're looking, and it's getting nerve-wracking, and but they're still up for it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's almost like when you're 11, you're like, oh, we could die, this is amazing. Yeah, it's like, wow. And then we're all there. And I'm waiting, and I'm really, now I'm terrified. I don't want to do this. And there was one lad that could speak a little bit of English. And this one lad came over to me, and he said to me, a baby? That's what he said to me. You are, how you say, a baby. You need to know something. I chucked myself off that mountainside, yeah? I threw myself off that mountainside because there's no way that any pesky 11 to 14-year-old lad, I threw myself off, and at the end, I bought him some shaving foam and said, you are a baby? And so I have some of that, you little blessing. So the thing is, what I'm talking about is, if I had done that with any of you, guess what? I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it. We'd have all managed to talk our way out of it. We'd have been able to kind of say, oh, we've done a few jumps, we've done great. Let's go back to the minibus. I think we've done well. I think we've done good. We've done 4 or 5 jumps. Let's let the youngsters do it now. No, but because I was in that daring culture, I was dared to do further and beyond what I ever would have dreamed or imagined. And you guys are part of something here. You are part of something where you are provoking each other to go further than you would ever have gone without having this daring culture. You are going to step and do something in faith that, like, it's like, wow. I'm preaching around the country about praying over sick people, praying for people with cancer, praying for people that they're healed in the name of Jesus. And I come into an environment like this, and I'm telling you, this is not just zinging because there's a good energy in the room. This is zinging because we're part of a daring culture. And that there's people around this room that are urging you on and saying, you can do more than you think you can. You can do beyond what you think you can. It's like, only be strong and courageous. This is a defining moment, a time when you guys can actually do stuff that is beyond what a missions organization should do, because you are part of a daring culture and you're actually urging each other to do greater and bigger things than you could ever have done if you weren't part of this. So, just only be strong and courageous. I became an evangelist and started to travel around preaching, and ended up preaching in loads of churches where there was only one or two people that were not Christians. And I was getting frustrated. And I was like, I want to be in front of lots of people that are not yet Christian. And then my wife took me to a theatre show, guy called Dave Gorman, who is a very funny man, who's not a Christian yet, but he had a great show that was funny, but he had a message. He was communicating a message. I sat in that theater and God spoke to me and God said, I want you to do that. I said, what are you talking about, God? I want you to do that. I told my wife, she goes, well, let's do it. We booked a little theatre on the outskirts of Nottingham. It was a 70-seater theatre. We filled it, and quite a few non-Christians came, which we were really excited about. And I did an hour-long show. Now, this is a bit you need to hear. Some of it was brilliant. Some of it was funny. Some of it was horrendous. Have you ever been in a situation where the whole room synchronized buttock clench? Do you know when that? Have you ever been that? Oh, when everyone at once, people were doing this noise. Oh, yeah, that's not a good noise for a comedian, yeah? Oh, it's like, wow. It's like moments where it just went quiet. There were moments where I was like awkward on the mic and didn't really know what to say and was like, let's move on to the next story. That was moments like that. And we went for it at the end. And I think we worked out that 11 people made a first-time response for Jesus. And then I'd asked two or three pastors to come to listen and to help me in this pioneering project. And one of them came to me and he said, Mark, are you trying to be on TV? Do you think you're a comedian? He goes, man, that was horrible tonight. He goes, I was embarrassed for you. He says, there were moments tonight when people were like literally cringing. He goes, you should never do that again. He goes, do not go back to preaching in churches. This has been a mistake and you should never do it. I listened to him out of honor and respect. Thanks for your feedback. Off he went. And that was it. We're driving home. My wife's driving. And she chat, chat, chat. Amazing people becoming Christians. And then she goes, how are you feeling? I goes, oh, I'm not going to do it again. I don't know if any of you have ever seen your partner, your wife, your husband, when they get so angry that the vein in their neck actually comes out of their body and like wanders around the car. Have you ever had that? It is terrifying. It is terrifying. She grabbed the steering wheel. She went, what do you mean you're not doing it again? I told her what the guy had said. The steering wheel, she's now really gripping it tight. She says, listen to me. I felt the Holy Spirit say, listen. Yeah, listen. I felt the Holy Spirit say, because I'm listening. Yeah, I am listening. She goes, listen to me. She goes, it is true that there were moments today. She goes, you told some stories tonight that should never be said again out loud, yeah? She goes, that is true. She goes, yeah, there were moments today when it wasn't great. But she goes, Mark, I saw you on that stage and I saw you alive and I saw you connect with that crowd and you saw him laughing and I saw people respond to God. She goes, you do not listen to that. You're doing it again. I'm booking some theaters. You're doing it. However you think you're doing it. And so we did. We changed and I took some stuff out and I put some stuff in and we got it better. And then I did it in different places. And then I was in Lincoln and I was doing it in front of 800 people in Lincoln. And 150 people made a first-time response to God. 150 people made a response to God. But what about this? This is the best bit. I didn't know this. But that pastor who had been in that first one, he was in the, I didn't even know he was in the balcony. And he came down at the end. He comes up to me and he's like, oh, mate, that was amazing. You've got to keep on doing that. That is awesome. He goes, that was phenomenal tonight. And all the time inside, I'm thinking, as soon as he stops talking, I'm gonna let him have it. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to say, hey, if I'd listened to you, I would never have done it. I've got it all ready. And God says, no, don't let him go. So I did. I let him go. And now we talk about him all over the world. So there it is. The thing is, we have this thing where we think that risk taking, it's all going to be smooth and beautiful. And the first time you do it, it's going to be amazing. And we get so obsessed by things being excellent and the spirit of excellence and all that. But guys, sometimes we've just got to have a go and we've got to try some stuff because we're taking some risks. And when you do things for the first time, guess what? You get some of it wrong. And when you experiment and you're doing new things and it's innovative and it's creative, and you guys, this is where innovation lives. This is creative, where it all lives. And I'm urging you to keep on being brave and keep on trying stuff and keep on doing things. And let's try some stuff where we have a few more, like, you know, train wrecks where we're like, oh, that did not go great. But guess what? We learned some lessons and we're going to do something different, but we're going to keep on with this thing. Be brave. Be courageous. Be strong. And I feel to speak to the very essence of what this place is about as I finish, because I want to talk about bravery. When I was a youth pastor in Barnsley, I used to take the young people, a lot of them kind of 11 to 15-year-old lads and girls. We used to take them to this park near Barnsley on a Sunday night after the service. And we'd often be there about 9 o'clock. Now, you need to understand, I'm not a fighter. You know, some of you guys look like you could, you know, tear me to shreds. And I'm not a fighter. I'm a bit of a wimpy geezer. But I was there with the youth pastor, with these 11 to 14-year-old kids, and my wife, Tamsin, was 8 months pregnant. And we're there in this park, and a whole load of a gang that had been taking something. I don't know what they'd been taking, but they'd been taking something. And they turn up at this park, and one of them pushes one of the little kids over, the 12-year-old lad, pushes him down, and they're all around us, and they're around Tamsin. And it was terrifying because these guys were in a gang and they looked like they could do a lot of damage. But there's something that I wrote down when I was praying about you guys, and that is that bravery is when that thing inside of you rises up and is bigger than fear. Bravery is when that thing inside of you rises up and is bigger than fear. I'm not a fighter, but my wife's 8 months pregnant. I'm in charge of these 11 to 15-year-old kids. I've got to do something. And like I stand up and I say to a couple of the bigger guys, I says, like, guys, help me here. We step up and we start looking at this gang and we're like, guys, this is not happening. These guys are laughing. They're like really aggressive. I turn to the younger people. I say, guys, you need to go back to the car. Tamsin, I want you to go back to the car. They're all like, no. It's like, guys, you need to go now. Go now. I'm standing there. There's one of my guys on one side, one on the other. And we're standing there. And as we're standing there, these lads are mouthing off. They are giving it big style. And I turn to these two guys and I says, listen, let's not throw any punches, but let us protect our guys. And then somebody smacked me right across the face. And then it all kicked off. And we all had to go to A&E after. It was quite funny because we were like, A&E, it's like, you know, getting all myself sorted out. And the guy next to me, he's getting his fist checked, his hand. I goes, how, Jonathan, how come you're getting your, how did you, did someone kick you in the hand? And he sort of went, oh, I didn't hear you say that bit about don't hit them, yeah? It's like, oh no, I think you did. And, this is the fascinating thing. One guy called Dean, a 22-year-old guy who is one of my leaders, he didn't step forward. He ran back with the 11 to 14-year-old kids and sat in his car. And you can imagine, as a youth pastor trying to deal with 12-year-old girls screaming at Dean, saying, you're a coward. Why didn't you step forward? But I'm speaking to your soul today, because this is the truth. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have an option of whether we want to sit comfortably in the car and listen to worship music and play it safe, or we have the option of stepping forward and saying, okay, enemy, if this is how it's got to be, we're willing to fight for a generation. We're willing to fight to see young people come to faith. We are willing to fight for our schools. We're willing to fight for our territory. We're willing to fight for our housing estates. We're willing to fight for our prisons. Because God, you have put something inside of us which is greater and bigger than any fear. Bravery is when that thing inside of us rises up and is bigger than our fear. And I've just done Leicester Comedy Festival and I was terrified. And I did not do it like speaking in tongues, being the man. I did not prowl around like a lion, shouting in tongues and go out there like some kind of savage. I was scared, because you're still scared. But bravery is doing it when you're scared. But that thing is more important than pandering to your fear. And I'm speaking to you guys, and I'm saying, you know, guys, we've got nervousness about doing this, and what if we do that? And what about the money? And what about this? And what about that? And we can be so full of fear that we can be like, ah, but then that thing, that passion inside of you, that thing, the reason why you're sitting in the seat that you're sitting in right now is because there's a burden and a passion for the lost that is bigger inside of you than any fear. And it rises up inside of you, and you says, right, we're ready to fight for a generation. I don't know if maybe one or two of the band can come and join us, but you know, you guys, what is this all about? This is about us, like, absolutely and totally being men and women of God that understand the why of what we're doing. We're doing this not because we, you know, have got nothing better to be doing. We're doing this because, God, we want to see a generation turned around. And I'm on Leicester Comedy Festival, and there's a million voices in my head saying, you can't make an appeal. How can you make a gospel appeal in the middle of a comedy set? How can you do that? And then I'm like, God, the whole story of God in the Bible is that God turns up in the most unlikely of places. If you imagine the presence of God turns up in a manger. Jesus is born in a manger. The presence of God. And this is, I had this moment of anointing. You are anointed to preach good news to the poor. Anointing is not about you spinning at the front of a Christian conference. Anointing is about you being anointed in school. Of course, speaking in an appropriate way. Of course, following all the guidelines. But walking the presence of God into a classroom. Walking the glory of God into a street and into an estate. God turns up in the most unlikely of places. That we would be people that are like, God, we are going to be brave and courageous with this thing. We're going to step into places that we should not be allowed to step into. And we're going to fight for this generation. I wonder if you can bow your head in the presence of God.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.